NBC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city would save
me. What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
I'm not a cop anymore.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people have become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you really heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
Any preference on how you'd like to die? The flames or the frost?
Hello and welcome. You're listening to DC on CW Arrow Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app, available in the iTunes App Store and Google Play. Simply search Rain Man Digital. And you can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on CW. And once you find us there, please go ahead and leave us a review. All right, I am your host, Lauren Alexander, and with me in the studio, I have Bobby D.
Hello, hello.
And I've got Mike Flores in here, which is weird.
Hello.
Hello.
That's weird.
Why is that weird?
Because usually you're not with me on any DC on CW shows.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, see? It made sense.
Now I'm going to remain silent. So it's really weird.
Mike, what do you think? Nothing. It's weird.
Nothing. It's weird. He's our resident lurker for this show. Perfect. Alrighty. Today we're going to be breaking down and discussing the season premiere of Arrow, season 6, episode 1, Fallout. We finally learn the fate of Team Arrow and the island explosion. Yeah. That's so much weird speculating that's been done about it and people posting on their social medias that they were in fact not dead and things like that before the episode even aired.
They should have radio silence by the cast.
I think they killed a little of the hype of finding out who was or wasn't dead for me.
It's like Entertainment Weekly's releasing pictures of the Canaries fighting.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's an epidemic and a big problem right now with television because everybody wants to promote on social media because it is very important to promote on social media. I mean, that can save a show, as we know. However, it takes away from the drama and the surprise of a show when you know that there's actors coming back. I remember years ago in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I really, really got into television, it would be the best thing ever when you come back and watch a show and you know nothing about anything during the summer and you come back and it's a complete surprise. Now, that's just non-existent because they're on set for season 5.
Yeah. Here's a selfie.
If I was a showrunner, I'd say, guess what? We don't need you to promote. If you want to say, hey, I'm going to promote because I'm a part of the team still. I want to help out and I'm so excited for the show. But don't release any photos
of
at all
David Ramsey next to James Bamford at the reading of the first script.
I would completely go the other way and say, wow, it's so sad you're gone. We'll miss you. Let that be a surprise. It's so important to the story.
I thought the funniest thing I saw all summer for Arrow was Oliver standing in front of the San Diego Comic-Con sign and it said the season 6 cast of Arrow at San Diego Comic-Con, and it was just him.
Wait, he did do that?
No, somebody made a meme of him just standing like in front of by himself.
See, like, that would have been funny if they did that.
Yeah, they come out and you expect this whole cast thing to show up, and it's Oliver, and be like, and William. Hi, guys.
Perfect. That's really good. All right, so we've got a little quote here from Wendy Miracle, who's one of the she's a showrunner, right?
Co-showrunner.
Well, yeah.
With Guggenheim?
Yeah.
A showrunner. Not the showrunner, but a. She has a quote here from about the vigilante reveal, which we had some feelings on. She said, "I can definitely tell you it's not right away, but it will be happening. We're so excited about it. We're excited about the casting. We're excited about the stories. It was one of those things where we didn't know how far we were going to be able to take it. And it's evolved into kind of a bigger story arc than we thought, which is always exciting because you get to take the characters in new directions and it's going to have an impact on our characters. That's when you know the story is really working and things are really in sync. I think it's going to be really surprising. I don't think the audience is going to see it coming. At least I hope they don't. It's just going to be fun. Now, if you don't know anything about Vigilante in the comic books, Adrian Chase should have been Vigilante and not Prometheus. So that was kind of a weird, like, red herring type of thing for last season.
Yeah. The bullshit back.
They gave us Adrian Chase. They gave us Vigilante. And they did not make him into that character.
I do like the fact that we have no idea at all who he is. And I do like that. That has been kept a very well-kept secret. Unless it is Roy, and then you just ruined it for me. No, we've all been debating that, right?
Yes, that's been an ongoing thing. Yeah. And that's what made me wonder when it said, we're excited about the casting. It's like, wait, is that casting somebody new?
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, what do you mean by casting?
That's exactly what I do. Analyze all their words. Yeah, I really do that. Yeah. See, that's okay. I want to try to figure it out myself. I like doing that much.
Yeah.
You know, more fun.
If I take the third letter of every word she said, it spells out the actor's name.
Bobby's like the Dan Brown of CW shows.
He's not Voldemort. What are you doing? But yeah, I mean, honestly, I do like that they gave us two characters. Well, I mean, they gave us, you know, the character's secret identity and the Vigilante or villain name of Vigilante. And they threw us for a loop and they didn't do exactly what they should have, big air quotes here on that should have. I honestly, it's cool. It's cool to have something surprise us and actually be a twist, especially after the Prometheus reveal.
Yep.
Being as lackluster as it was. It just...
Sadly, it really was. And it didn't have to be.
It didn't have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this Vigilante thing better be like just fireworks in the sky. I better come. I need something because after the... Yeah. I'm saying
seed
it.
Cannon. Seed
cannon. Seed cannon.
Your seed cannon better explode.
Oh, my God. Something's got to happen. It's got to rock my world.
It's really got to.
It's got to make love to me. Sweet, sweet love. Because that Lauren hit it right in the head. It was lackluster. And not it didn't ruin the entire season, but it was a lackluster reveal for Prometheus. So this one... They've been guarding it so carefully. This one's gotta rock us.
It better be Roy Harper because who else or Tommy, which we know we're not gonna get Tommy
because
somehow Chicago Met or whatever the fuck he's on.
She's doing it again.
Yeah, she just came again.
Every time Tommy is mentioned.
I like Tommy.
But like they better not pull off the mask and I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes mediocrity is worse than it being outright bad, you know?
You were a shitty tipper, Oliver. Remember that?
Yeah.
I was your waiter.
Sometimes, like, you can't bitch about it too much, you know, because you're just like, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good. And then you're even more unfulfilled because you can't even rage about how awful it was.
Yeah. And that's kind of what they did with Prometheus. It's like, who are you and why do we care? Like,
yeah.
He hurt your father, who was a bad person anyways. I'm like, get over it, dude. Quit being a shit heel.
The way she just talked about a reveal is how I talk about food. It was all right. I've had better. Kind of disappointed. But I can't really bitch about it because it's what I ordered.
A Yelp review?
Yes.
Oh, boy. All right. So let's get into this other article we have here. It's from Inverse.com. Arrow cinematographer says crossover will be very challenging. Season 6 won't be as dark, literally, as previous years. So, like, they won't film it at night all the time? Like, what does that mean?
You can't have father-son time at night.
What the fuck? That sounds very disgusting.
It did. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, that's horrible.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
I'm glad you said you can't, at least, but still.
Last night, I just watched Gerald's Game on Netflix, and there is some weird father-child molesty type things in that movie, and I was just like...
That's in Hollywood right now.
So it's...
Oh, man. What are you, the Ryan right now, bringing up controversy?
I sat in the seat. Something weird happened to me.
Even Nicole got more talkative when she was sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
It's a disease in that chair.
but yeah, please don't. Please no. That ruined the word daddy for me, too. Like I can't even hear it in conversation without cringing. What? I'm just... I don't say it. I'm just saying, like, I can't hear the word without just, like, dying a little bit inside.
What word don't you say very much?
Stop it.
I didn't hear.
No. Bruce Worrell says he is a cog in the machine. It isn't as bleak as it sounds. As one of the new cinematographers for the long-running series Arrow, it's his job to just to find his place among the orderly chaos. This is a horrible article.
Because it's inverse.
It's quite comfortable to slip right in.
Oh my!
It does say that.
It says that. Ooh. All right. You know, I'm looking anywhere for anything relevant.
Well, it was just that a new cinematographer came on. Does that make like a big difference for the show? Do you think we'll see it, or do you think he'll slip right in?
He's definitely not going to slip right in. You can always tell whenever you have someone who's in charge of the aesthetics, you're going to notice the change. You always do. Now, if there's gaffers and there's cinematographers, now it depends on how the hierarchy works on this particular set. Gaffers are the ones who do the lighting setup, and sometimes, depending on what project you're on, the gaffer will have more say in terms of the lighting setup, and the cinematographer will focus on the framing and the camera itself. But more often than not, the cinematographer is in charge of the entire picture, and the gaffer does what he says and will set the lights. So that's where we could potentially have some definite changes in the look. And I didn't really notice any big difference with the season
later
premiere.
On the article, it said he started with the premiere. So it wasn't like he's just working on them now. I just was wondering about it just because we've always talked about, you know, you've brought up in like our first season when you saw bad, you know, camera work going on, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe this was part of corrections.
There was definitely some bad edits, though. Did you guys pick up on some stunt scenes that they completely biffed it?
Yeah.
And they left it in. I felt that was kind of off. Maybe they figured most people wouldn't catch it, but whatever.
Do you want to point out those things? Or?
The one scene that really stood out was when Laurel knocked the new Black Canary, Dinah.
Yeah.
Off the stairs, and then Diggle comes to give her his hand.
Oh my god, and she just like doesn't get up right away.
And they biff their hands together, like they hit forearm to forearm.
Mm-hmm.
And then they grab each other's hands, and it looked really uncomfortable, they knew they messed up. You can tell by her face.
Oops.
Yeah, and they just kept it.
She was reaching for him, too. She went to reach for his hand,
and
she tried to shift her body weight in a way as to immediately start standing up, catch his hand, and lift all the way up. And since she didn't do that, she kind of fell back down to the ground and swiveled a little bit too.
Yeah.
So that was a whole thing.
So all three of us caught that
then.
Yes. Okay.
That was awkward.
Okay.
And I don't know if I care super much about
it's,
that.
It's kind of realistic.
When
you really think about it, how many F-ups would really happen if you're fighting?
You're falling on your head. I'm sorry. I'm not catching you.
Yeah. I'm not getting up. I'm giving up.
Lay dead. Just lay here.
Yeah. As soon as that bomb dropped in the Arrow's bunker, I would have just, if I was Diggle, I would have just laid down and be like, I'm done.
Out.
I'm done.
Take me.
Safe.
Yeah.
All right. With that, we're going to jump into our first break before we tackle this episode.
Aw, people say he's just a pretty face.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
Have you missed an episode of DC on CW? Catch up on all of our discussion from Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. Just search DC on CW on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also find it on the Rain Man Digital app. Just search Rain Man Digital from the iTunes App Store or Google Play.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Have you ever made
your junk? And I don't want someone judging me like that way. For all I know, other people are thinking that way. Yeah. Oh man, I can see this guy's penis, or I can't see his penis from my peripheral vision.
You think way too much about this.
I'm a thinker.
So you're like saying, "Don't judge me. Let me look at your penis."
Yeah. You know, Einstein thought about the stars and how to solve problems and scientific equations.
He thought about a dude's dick in a trunk stop.
Right.
You're the Einstein of dicks.
Yeah. There's a certain amount of geometry, right, to, you know, peripheral vision of seeing the cock. There has to be.
Oh, no, I
challenge you.
I imagine you with this, like, Sherlock mind palace, imagining the shape of it, and there's, like, numbers going around for circumference and length.
He probably, like, he clearly noticed you looking at his dick, right?
So
he
probably shield. No, a shield. Is that what
shield
you do?
Shield with a little dick house with your hand.
A little dick
so
house
people can't
with
see
your hand.
What?
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Hey guys, did you know that Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service? That's right. Besides the weekly free broadcasts, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service. And when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber, so it's easy. The premium service includes video content, plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek from the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, DC on CW, Supernatural Crossroads, and more. So head on over to our Patreon. It's at patreon.com/rainmandigital and sign up today.
You want to come sign up. You get more content from us, you know, your favorite host, because everybody loves Bobby.
Your favorite host.
So we cover all the DC content.
If you want
content.
More action from us, give us money. I don't know. I'm sorry. What I feel like doing when I'm
in. This is Star Wars, phone number, Bunker Tank exclusive.
It's operational.
How do you feel about seeing a fight scene in a Star Wars movie that has nothing to do with Jedi, and it's between Finn and Captain Phasma? Do you think that's a good call?
I think it is, because, like, here's the thing. We have to understand that they're trying to actually promote that the universe is larger than what we thought.
Right.
When everyone was like saying, oh, why is Finn allowed to use a lightsaber? I'm like going, why can't he use a lightsaber? It's a tool.
Yeah, but it's also a Jedi weapon. It's sacred.
If he's not
a Jedi, he shouldn't be wielding it. That's how I feel as a Star Wars nerd.
He can still activate it, and he can swing it like a bat.
Yeah, guess what? I can also activate my dick and swing that like a bat. It doesn't mean I'm going to go into battle with it.
Exactly.
From the BatBattain.com for more details. And get ready for an excitingly good time. Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search BatBattain. Add us to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
Take the bass line out.
All right, we are back. Uh-huh. Let's get into this episode. Arrow Season 6, Episode 1, Fallout. Yeah. Directed by James Bamford. Written by Mark Guggenheim and Wendy Miracle. So let's just get into it. Let's just start with this. We get back to the island. We are shown the state of everyone. Because
that's
everyone.
Why slow play anything?
Yeah. Why slow play? literally everyone but Oliver and his son were at risk. You know, we've got on the island, Total, Oliver, William, both canaries, Felicity, Deathstroke, Wild Dog, Diggle, Captain Lance, Talia al Ghul, Baby Mama,
Nessa,
Thea. Was Nessa there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't see her this week, though, right?
We didn't see any al Ghuls this week.
Mm-hmm.
Artemis
was
locked in a cage.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that little bitch.
Oh, wow.
She's a traitor.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. Thank you for being the one to say. I forgot who she was for a second.
Okay.
Yeah, I loathe her.
Yeah. They locked her in the cage, remember? It would just be funny for them to be, like, looking for Thea or somebody and just have, like, this charred body holding on to bars.
I would be so happy.
Like, oh, there's Artemis.
It not only was I'll say this much. The casting department did a great job casting someone who would be annoyingly obnoxious.
Oh, for Artemis?
Yeah, for someone that you're not supposed to necessarily like, because she was very very annoying. I was hoping she turned bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right.
I'm not into it, but
don't kill her.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hope it happens. all right, so we've got, out of all the people that are alive, Oliver and his son, William, obviously. We've got the Canaries. We've got Felicity. We've got Slade. We've got Wild Dog. Diggle. Captain Lance. They're all fine. Captain Lance and Diggle did sustain some injuries, though. Diggle seems like it's a little worse.
I at first I thought he was going to have, you know, post-traumatic from the explosion and everything going on just because of his past, like the trigger something. And then when they, like, he showed his big Diggle chest, I was like, oh.
His big Diggle chest.
Yes. I was like, oh, something's really wrong with him. And it just seems so manufactured to create a problem because of the explosion. I don't know how I feel about
it. Do we know for sure that's what it is, though? Or they just... I mean, well, did they say that?
They're heavily implying.
He pulled down to show his nipple, and but they kept showing the explosion hitting him in the chest, what, two or three times?
Well, and they kept talking to him about, you know, well, what's the deal, man? Why can't you pull the trigger, this and that? You know, you're a trained soldier. Why can't you...
Why are you so shaky?
What's going on now? Why are you so shaky? You losing your aim? And everyone's just kind of giving him shit, and he's not really sticking up for himself. He's just sort of like, hey, man, you know, kind of non-answers. And then, yeah, they go to a scene on the island, and they show him getting hit in the chest with, like, explosions and stuff. And then it comes back to him pulling his shirt down, looking at his own pectoral area, and there's something wrong with it, and he's trying to hide it from everyone.
So do you think he's injured, or do you think he's actually has some type of, you know, PTSD?
Well, I thought it was going to be the post-traumatic until he actually pulled down his chest, and you can kind of see it looked to be some kind of scarring there.
Maybe he has some type of internal injury that's hurting him.
Six months down the
road? Yeah, delayed.
Delayed. It seems to be an injury thing for sure that they're pushing here. So we'll see how that plays out.
I don't know. Like I figured they were trying to find something for him, like you were saying, Bob. And that's the thing when you have a show not willing to kill off characters, you start creating these odd narrative arcs for these characters that kind of seem that they wouldn't really make sense to the certain type of character that we have been introduced to.
Yeah, because why wouldn't Diggle just go get his shit fixed?
Right. You know, if it's an actual physical injury, or even if it is mental, I mean, he did kill his brother. I mean, that's far worse than an explosion going off around you. Yeah. The amount of things that he's experienced in the last 5 years of his life is more than enough to create these types of problems, and he's managed to deal with them with relative ease. Like, yes, it was very psychologically impairing in terms of what happened with his in the aftermath of killing his brother. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that made a lot of sense because he killed his brother. But now you're trying to raise the stakes. If that is what they're doing, I don't think it works. You can't raise the stakes on killing your brother. Like, that's up here.
That's already at the top.
Yeah, that's 11. And now you're saying a bomb went off and that is going to send you over that. I think it's still too early to definitively say. So I'll be on board for now. Mm-hmm. But we don't really know. It's really new.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, then you could be, you know, Captain Lance, and you could have to shoot your daughter, not daughter, on the island and get messed up from that, and just have him in a bar staring at shot glasses.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't even know how he's still standing. The amount of things, he is so emotionally soft. Like, his brain is just soft matter. Like, he can't take anything.
No.
I understand your daughters have died, dude. I know it's terrible. It's terrible.
Four times.
But, man, like, when do you either eat the bullet, you know, or just...
Wow.
No, I'm saying, like, or no, when you just fall down in a complete you know, slumber induced by psychological, emotional damage. Yeah. This guy is a walking time bomb.
Just leaving Las Vegas, drink yourself to death.
Yeah, and if they end up doing that with him, I will be okay, because whatever happens, because they didn't just do what they should have done, which I feel like they should have just said, hey, Lance, because I like the actor and I like his character for the most part, but hey, it's kind of ran its course. You should just let him die on the island. But they didn't. So moving forward, if they allow these things that really, that they're really putting a spotlight on this week, this needs to be the end.
Yeah.
Like, it would be great if all of this, like I just said, like bite the bullet or fall down out of just sheer mental exhaustion. There needs to be an end game for him. Like, this needs to be the final season that just destroys him.
Yeah, because he was kind of the Vegas odds, let's say, of the guy who probably should have died on the island. And not getting that was kind of just weird for me. The whole way the whole thing was approached, of people just showing up and the way they shot it, and then the flash forwards to the thing, or flashbacks, or whatever we're calling them this season, of going to figure out what was going on. And it all happened within like 10 minutes of the show starting. And I was just like, wow, nothing happened.
So I think for Lance, I think you're totally right, Mike. I think that he has to have a change happen to his character. This has to be the end of all of his daughter drama. It just has to be. It's done. It's run its course. It's over. And especially with the amount of attention they put on it this first episode, with him being like, I'm sorry, I shot her, we didn't find her dead, I did it. And Dinah's like, no, you don't have to tell him. You don't have to tell them that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, him hesitating again, and Black Siren saying, don't beat yourself up over it. If it were me, I'd pull the trigger. Like that has to be basically the turning point where he goes, this is not my daughter. I feel these paternal instincts towards her. She looks just like my daughter, but this is not my Laurel. She's a different Laurel, and she's a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I like this Laurel better.
I do too.
Her acting and everything I don't know. She plays that bad girl well.
That's what she did in Supernatural for season four.
Mm-hmm.
And she was fantastic. She played the demon Ruby. She was by far one of my favorite versions of that character in that show.
Yeah. I think she was my favorite version of Ruby.
Yeah. And she played that role so good. And she plays bad. You're right, Bob. She plays a bad chick really, really well.
Just everything about the way she walks and talks. And
she was actually the highlight for me.
Yes.
Honestly, mm-hmm. Like if you're going to bring back a character, that's how you do it. Bring them back from the dead, but not bring them back from the dead, and have them act like someone completely different. And I'm sure as an actress, she really loves it, because these are the types of roles actors want. You know, like you don't always want to be the sad case. You don't always want to be the straight guy. You know, that's just not straight in terms of sexuality, Bob. I see your eyes. Oh, starting to grin.
I just didn't make a joke.
Mike doesn't always want to be a straight guy.
Who does, really?
Huh? Make Thomas bisexual.
But this is the way the dice rolled, man.
That's right. So, I mean, not all actors want to play that straight character. It's not as fun for them.
Yeah.
So for her to even be able to come back after they killed her off and now bring her back to play a role where she really gets to sink her teeth in the role, I mean, it's just to be that actress is probably very fun. And that's maybe even part of the reason why she's delivering the goods, because I don't think it's a secret that she was a bit unhappy towards the tail end of her first run. Like within the first four seasons, she was very unhappy.
They had a promise or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she, as we've discussed on the show before, Laurel or Katie Cassidy, it was supposed to be the Oliver and Laurel show. That's what the show was supposed to be. That's how it was pitched.
She was supposed to be Black Canary for longer than like a season.
Right. Right. So this is them, I think, trying to make good on their promise to her. And I think it's working out good.
Yes. If this continues on, she'll definitely be one of my favorite like villains or whatever they're going to turn her into, characters, let's just say.
Yeah, I'm into it. I hope it doesn't have a short shelf life. So let's talk about the characters we haven't talked about yet. We have Thea and Samantha, who is baby mama. We already mentioned the Al Ghuls, no idea. Artemis, no idea. They're AWOL. But Thea, as soon as I saw her run after baby mama, I was like, she's dead or close to it. Just done. That's no questions there.
As she was running awkwardly.
Yeah.
She was all clunky with her big old shoes.
I mean, you know, sometimes you're not prepared to go to an island and have to run away from explosions.
That's fair.
She was kidnapped.
That's true.
You know?
Here I am bashing her for not having, like, a pair of sneakers.
Right, like,
who goes in the jungle like that?
A pair of hiking boots in her bag. Like, I'm ready. Yeah, but she's, you know, at this point, she is mostly dead, and baby mama's dead. I think we all called that.
That's the one that made sense.
That's the one that we were like, yeah, there's no way he's going to have his son in his life unless she's dead.
Yeah. Me and Mike had a conversation earlier on the phone. Thea should have been dead. I just think it would have pushed Oliver to the limit now that he's basically killed every single person in his family. Baby mama, Thea, you know, and even if Captain Lance would have died, that would have been perfect too, because he basically killed every Lance sister and Lance relative.
Yeah.
And I just think that would have pushed Oliver to kind of a new darkness type thing inside him, knowing that it was his fault that all these people have died around him. And I just think they missed it.
Do we need more of that from him, though?
You know what, Laurel? That's our Laurel. I just called you Laurel.
I mean, I'll take it.
No, Lauren, I actually agree with you. Like, I do, like, when Bob and I were talking, when I first watched the episode, I felt like from a dramatic standpoint, it would have been great to just kill off almost everybody, and it would have put Oliver in this position where he's never been in before. However, you're kind of right. Like, you need to give the audience a bit of a break. We saw Oliver at his darkest, I think, last year, right? Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah,
arguably, yeah.
So, I mean, the way they set up the season finale kind of made us all think that's what we were going to get. But I think in retrospect, Wendy Miracle and Guggenheim were like, you know what? Do we really want to go much darker? Let's not. Let's give Oliver a little bit of an opportunity to kind of have a more lighter, you know, present a little bit lighter side of himself in this upcoming season. So I can see that in retrospect. Although me, being the dark bastard than I am, if I was in that writing room, I would have killed them all. I would have said, this is the best way we can take this story. It's kill them all, except maybe Felicity, because she has a purpose still. She has maybe even Wild Dog and the new guy. What's his
Terrific.
Name? Mr. Terrific. I think they still have a point, and they can utilize them in much of the same way they are, in fact, using them. But Lance, Thea, Samantha, who is dead.
Diggle.
I mean, in a lot of ways, those characters have kind of hit a wall.
It would have been the bookend to their 5-year run.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been a bittersweet.
Yeah.
Is that the way, I guess, the saying? It would have been bittersweet. It would have been hard for the fans of those characters and for me, because Diggle is my absolute favorite. But sometimes the writers have to be willing to make those calls for the betterment of the show. And sometimes when you have the ensemble cast and you have that fan base that's behind those characters, it's not as easy for writers to do that, because they face the wrath of so many people who are very vocal via social media.
So there's the fans, and then there's the cast too. You know what I mean? They've become this family.
Yeah.
And you know, the writers like to write for them and stuff like that. But honestly, you have to be able to detach from your work far enough to go, this character's run its course. We love this actor. We want to keep giving them work. The fans love this actor, but is it bringing the show down to keep putting more stuff in there for the sake of having that person around and not for the betterment of the story?
Yeah. And honestly, when you really put it into perspective, the only character the show really needs is Oliver.
Yeah.
When you really break it down.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, if they would have ended up killing them all, it would have kind of led into what we saw how Oliver was in Legends, where it looked like, you know, the bunker was all blown up, all the costumes were all knocked over. It looked like everybody had died from the thing.
I would have loved a more personal story, like with him and his son. If it was just him and his son and maybe Felicity and him struggling, working on his own completely for real.
Yeah.
I mean, dealing with the deaths from the island. I mean, it would have fueled easily. Just that scenario alone, I felt, would have fueled 2 or 3 seasons worth of stories.
I agree.
And introduce, you know, Black Siren in there as someone to pick up the pieces in his life. One thing leads to another. They end up hooking up. Now I'm writing fan fiction.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Lance is watching creepily through a window.
So we're adding another Patreon tier. Mike's Arrow fan fiction. Oh, boy.
She's not my daughter. She's not my daughter. That's what's going to be titled.
Oh.
We still have that question. Is it incest if she's from a different Earth?
It's DNA. It is, yes. Right?
I don't know.
Also, if it looks identical to your daughter, has the same DNA, yes.
But she vibrates at a different
taste. God.
Yeah.
She feels totally different.
She's not my daughter. She vibrates at a different level.
I can totally tell. Wait, what?
Wait, what's the actual word? I need to know the actual word. Vibrates at what? A different frequency? That's what
frequency,
it is.
Yeah.
I hate. And that's going to be it for
him. Gotta go.
Whoops, this got awkward. We'll see you next time. Yeah. Yeah. That's weird. All right. But I totally.
And yet she's thinking about it now. She's like,
No, I'm trying to think about how to get everything back on track here. I mean, did anyone really like how any of the reveals happened before we move away from this?
I feel like I'm talking too much. No. You take it, Bob. You take it.
No, you're fine, buddy. No, I didn't like it at all. I just thought it was too quick. It was too, I don't know if I would like to spread out for the hour or even throughout the episode, but it just seemed like, you know, when they were fighting, you're like, Felicity's dead because Terrific had to take care of it and they had nobody to divert the missile. And, you know, I thought maybe something happened to the Wild Dog because his costume changed.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like.
Yes, yes. Which I was like,
hey,
okay.
That was a reveal I liked.
Yeah. I was like, oh, something happened to him. And then when they were like, oh, well, so sorry, Felicity was getting food. I was like, that's stupid.
Yeah, that's stupid. That's stupid. You're stupid. Come on.
Why you got such big bags for small hamburgers?
And you know, none of them eat that food. Look at them. They're all ripped and shredded. Nobody's eating hamburgers.
No, they're not.
Not one of
they're
them.
They're not sitting in their car in front of the studio eating French fries.
Yeah, they're eating wheatgrass and tofu and, you know, fake chicken. That's what they're eating.
Hey, listen.
You don't get
ripped.
I had
a nice takeout box full of fake chicken Kung Pao chicken earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
Been scarfing it down during our breaks. but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that the Wild Dog costume reveal was probably one of the only ones that I was like, oh, that's neat, that's nice,
yeah,
that's a good thing.
But I really did like the intro scene showing off who was still alive that way.
Yes,
because it was like cool, we can see him in action, we know who's there, and then assumed that everybody that wasn't there was dead.
Yeah, I feel similar to you about it. I think it was way too fast paced. Because I think we all knew we were getting flash forwards. We knew that. They talked about it throughout the entire summer, and they even discussed it during the previous season. They were already telling people this is what they're probably going to do. At the end of the flashbacks, when it's finally done after 5 years, we're thinking of doing something like flash forwards. But the thing is that these didn't work like flash forwards. And they didn't really explain it enough. They actually said 5 months before. And then you as an audience, as a viewer, was kind of trying to figure out, OK, which is the contemporary narrative? Which is the flashback? Which is the flash forward? Where are we actually at in the story? There wasn't a definitive explanation as to what is happening now. Is it happening now or did it happen to then?
Is it now or now before?
Right. And I think that was the only issue I had in terms of how they set up those reveals. And it had to do with the flash forwards. If you look at the very first season of Arrow, you knew for a fact which were the current narrative and the time frame was taking place. And you knew for a fact which was the flashback.
Yeah.
It was very clear. If I didn't know any better and I just started watching the show, we're essentially watching another flashback that takes place on an island. Because the writers and everyone said the actual story takes place on the island with flash forwards in the future.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel that way, did it?
No, not at all.
Because the show even ended at in the 5 months forward, flash forward. I'm so confused as I'm speaking.
Yeah. Well, I think where we're supposed to
be. Do we need the whiteboard there, Cisco?
Yeah. Who took over this season? The flash writers?
God. I think we're supposed to end up in the in the 5 months future time.
Right.
So, I don't know.
It was just very fast-paced. That was my only problem. I felt like the third act was pretty spot on because they slowed it down.
Yes.
They pulled back. They were just jumping way too fast, and they did that so they can do the reveals. And I feel like if they would have said, hey, why do we need to introduce Felicity right now? How cool would it be if we thought she was dead for 3 or 4 episodes? and then they do that reveal. I think it would have meant it a lot more and had a would have had a lot greater impact on the audience.
Yeah, because I mean, what they say, she was trying to get her mom to go back to Vegas.
Yeah.
She could have been doing that the whole time.
Yeah.
We didn't have to know.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, and there's no reason to even show Thea. Like, let us hang a bit. Just a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least we know for sure that baby mama is dead and she's gone. And that means Oliver gets to juggle all of the different jobs now. Mayor by day, dad by evening.
He's a catch.
And then vigilante by night.
He's a catch, right, Lauren?
What do you mean?
I mean, he's a dad. He's a mayor.
He's a superhero.
He's a superhero. He's buff. You can wash your panties on his abs. I mean, it's all, you know, washboard abs.
When you say it like that, yeah, sure.
Is he flossing his abs?
Yeah. He's like, hey, is it time to do your laundry? He just puts his hands on his hips. Why not?
I don't think that was a job that we listed.
No, that's too bad.
I don't know. I think that there's
Lauren
so
has
much,
nowhere to go when I talk.
I know. I'm just like, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You asked me if he was a catch. Sort of, but also no. He's got so much going on, which
that's
is like
a
good
baggage.
Thing. But a bad thing. Yeah, he's got so much baggage.
That's true.
And he has a kid that hates him. He doesn't even have enough time to spend with the kid that he had to take in. So how is he going to have room for a relationship?
I wouldn't hate him. If some rich dude took you in, wouldn't you just love him? Like, yeah.
Wasn't that the whole premise of Toy?
Was it?
With Richard Pryor.
How old is that movie?
I don't know. Before our age, too.
I don't know. My kid, you can buy my kid. Like, if someone like took him away and said, hey, I'm your new dad, and you have a giant mansion to live in, tons of toys, and every video game you want, my son would probably forget about me. He's like, yeah, okay.
What's my last name?
This is a good trade. Yeah, he would trade up in a second. Floris who?
Anyway, back to William. I think we already talked on the summer show about how we think he's going to be bad for the show. And that baggage is definitely showing. Oliver has to go straight from work, straight to home, and then immediately out to fighting crime.
Yeah.
And it's too much, man. I don't feel like the kid brings enough to anything. I don't think that he offers enough, and their relationship is going to be a struggle to build. So we're going to have to watch that painfully build up.
Yeah, because I mean, I think the first interaction we saw with him is Oliver coming home with a bag of hamburgers or whatever and like kind of throwing it at him and then leaving again. You're just like, oh, this is how this is going. And then, you know, he hired, you know,
Bertha.
Yeah, I was going to say Lupe.
Bertha, take care of my son.
Yeah, which is the same woman that used to take care of him.
Yeah, you used to have nightmares too. I don't know how.
This is a good accent.
I put the virgin in there. Light the candle.
Wait, oh, okay.
What?
Oh, the Virgin Mary?
Yeah, not the Virgin, though, that William is.
I was like, I put the virgin in there. I'm like, candle.
Is that your nickname for William?
Is this Hocus Pocus? You put the virgin in the room with the witches and light the black flame candle?
Yes. It is that time of the year.
Oh, God. All right. Well, I mean, I don't have much to say about this whole situation other than I think it's going to be too much.
Well, it's usually hit or miss when you put kids in shows. It's either a home run or it's terrible. There's no middle ground.
No.
And I'm okay with the actor himself, the kid. He's not one of those obnoxious looking kids.
Oh, sure.
But can he hold his ground? Can he stand his ground as an actor? Is he going to be able to? Because that's what I look at. I don't care necessarily about the drama behind it. As long as it fuels the emotion that we need for Oliver this year, that's all I'm looking for. But I also don't want to feel like I'm watching a second-rate actor as
okay.
well.
I also want to point out that not all of it is on the kid's shoulders. The writers can't write for him like he's a six-year-old. Because the lines where he's... The kid's like 13.
Yeah.
And they're writing lines for him like, but the bad man... And I'm not
That's
safe.
True. That's
Where's
true.
The bad man? Yeah. Points at Oliver.
That's
He's
true.
Here.
I see
the
dead
bad
people.
Man.
Wait, how old is he? Is he
he's
really
like
13?
13.
No, is he really?
Yeah, Oliver yeah. had him when he was 19 or something like
oh,
that.
I thought he was like 7.
No.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, he shouldn't be talking like that.
Because remember, he's been gone for 5 years. You know, been back for 5 years, so that's at least 10.
Hmm. Yeah.
I didn't think about that. That's a solid point there.
Yeah.
The kid's like prepubescent, and there's no reason for him to be like the bad man.
He should be like, Dad, can you not give me a barn door? I'm trying to beat off Bertha.
Oh my God.
I'm whacking the Bertha, Dad. Get out of here.
Dad, not before you come in. You don't know what I'm doing.
You want me to stay up late and watch baseball? I'm already staying up late and whacking my baseball. Oh, man.
All right. Well, with that, let's do a little live read on the note of whacking it. Adam and Eve wants to give you more with free gifts. Go to adamandeve.com and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. Bertha might even be in one of them.
They might have a Bertha porn.
And there's more. We're giving you 10 free gifts, a gift for her and a gift for him,
You're
plus a special
wrong.
Gift you and your partner will both like.
Bertha in the dugout.
Plus 6 full-length Bertha adult DVDs. And free shipping. So head over to adamandeve.com and enter offer code RAINMAN at checkout.
Mijo.
Oh, so, Jesus Cristo.
All right.
Let's talk Deathstroke a little bit. So Oliver gets some advice from him, and by the end, it sort of looks like foreshadowing, maybe?
Ish?
Nah. Blade lets Oliver know that people like themselves can't continue to swim between the lanes, which I think, honestly, is kind of coming to a head for Oliver. Like, you can't just keep trying to swim between everything
right
here. Like, you are gonna have to pick and choose what you want to commit your life to.
Yep.
Or all of it's gonna go down in flames. And that's something that we've seen them talk about over the past 5 seasons.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just...
Before it was, like, the love thing with Felicity mm-hmm. and all that other stuff. And now it's the kid being involved and you're just... I don't know. It was weird for me as like a father to sit there and think that I'm just going to ditch my kid to go help a city that fucking hates me.
Right. Well, and it was nice to see. It's nice to have Slade back as a reasonable human that we kind of met him.
An elder advisor almost.
Yeah. And he's giving solid advice at this point. You know, it's nice to see him in that role.
I agree. And that was kind of like the highlight for me for this episode, to see him play a role like that, and this is a good example of not bringing a character back just for fan service, because we all love Deathstroke. Yeah, that's great, we do, but that doesn't mean we want his character to be wasted on meaningless, you know, diatribe. This here, utilizing as that wise voice or counsel, I think is a great way for him to, you know, swoop on in and play a role that actually matters.
Yeah, especially for a man who has lived the double life.
Yeah.
And chasing a kid, too. Now,
well, you realize what they're doing. This is the part of the writing that I really like, because I always stand by the fact that the first 2 seasons of Arrow were so strong because of the dual origin stories of both Slade and Oliver. They worked so well as a parallel, you know, a parallel narrative working together,
yeah,
telling 2 similar stories that end very different ways that end up connecting at the end in a bloody way. And now it looks like they're trying to draw those parallels again by just that advisory role that he played, where he is playing that role. They're almost bringing that back.
Yeah.
And if they play with that all year, that'll be a huge win for the writing room. Because that's what made the first 2 seasons so strong. It wasn't just about Oliver. It was about him, too.
Yeah.
And how his actions affected Oliver and vice versa.
Yeah, and definitely, like I said, you know, they seem to be on even the same path of trying to get the family back together. And it's definitely nice to see Manu Bennett play Slade, not somebody in a costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that...
I'm so glad we didn't get that.
Yeah.
I know, like, there was a lot of speculation that that's exactly what we were going to get.
Yeah, like, yeah, Deathstroke's coming back. It's not Manu Bennett, it's Slade, it's Deathstroke.
Yeah.
So it was definitely nice, and it's, I don't know, everything that they're doing right now seems like they're going to conclude or finish up with Arrow to me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like I see end games coming, you know, with...
I mean, I can't disagree with you.
Right? I mean, it just...
With the end of the episode, too, and the way that all the family stuff is happening and this and that, I don't know, man. It just seems like... Maybe it's not going to happen this season, next season, but I think they've got it in their sights.
You think they're working towards an end now?
I think they're working towards an end. I think whatever they have now is going to be the end of Arrow. That, you know, especially with the reveal coming out, that, and then with Slade giving the advice that you can't swim between the lanes, you have to choose. You can't be, you know, the mayor and the vigilante and the father. You have to choose. And I think if he has to choose now, it's going to be ditching being the Arrow. I just don't think it's going to work anymore. I just, you know, how, after you're exposed on some TV, how do you come back to that, to where we're actually going to buy it?
Yeah.
You know, because
he's already been speculated as being the Arrow like 3 times before this.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's already been on the news. Former billionaire Oliver Queen is probably maybe the Arrow. We don't really know for sure, but he's definitely arrest. Being
he
accused.
Needs to turn himself in.
Yeah.
And I hope that's not how Roy Harper comes back into the story. It's like, no, I'm still the Arrow. Look at me. All right.
Yeah. I hope again. Not. Yeah, I hope that's not how we get Roy back.
That'd be kind of silly.
Yeah.
That would be garbage. I hope that it has something to do with Theo, because that would make sense. You know, he comes back to visit her because she's in a coma.
Yeah. And
she's
Thea,
not responsive.
And that'd be a good way to get Thea back involved as well, because Thea's kind of been just floating by. Last season, she really didn't have even a real impact in the story.
Where's Thea? She's at a beauty salon or something. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So sure. bringing Roy back might be a good way to... You know, either to send her character off back with him when he leaves, or, you know, just a way to get her emotionally involved in the show, because I don't feel like her character has had a lot of relevance. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, it's I just see that if, again, with Diggle being hurt, with this Arrow being exposed, like, I could just see the teams just starting to slowly kind of retire or just be done with it, and I can see an end game coming. And again, I hope it's not this season, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're just like, thank you, we've had a great run.
Yeah.
So
that's sad. That's kind of sad, because I can't imagine, you know, they're ever going to, at any time in the foreseeable future, end the DC on CW. I can't really see that happening. And to have a world without, like, the Green Arrow running around daily or weekly in a show is kind of weird, because he's
the guy.
Yeah.
It's called the Arrowverse, no matter what you guys want to call it on the internet.
Yeah, he's the foundation of the entire, you know, gamut of shows now. So they've all been built around him for the most part. Look at the characters in Legends. The bulk of the characters came from Arrow.
Yeah.
At least the leads at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Flash that came from Arrow.
Yeah. It's always been the backdoor pilot. Like, your proving ground is Arrow.
Yeah.
Can you make it here?
Yeah, Supergirl's the only one I think it didn't really have that foundation from Arrow.
But, like, after you see the reveal of Oliver at the end, how do you see an end to it? Like, to where he can continue to be the Green Arrow?
Yeah, I don't know. That was the most surprising thing about the episode. They jumped right into that. And it is, it's baffling. How can he come back from this
Photoshop.
Time? That's what I thought, too. Like, I was like, listen, it's Photoshop.
That's obviously not me. I mean, that's a terrible Photoshop job. That's what
you
I would say.
Think that looks like me? They didn't even get my nose right.
Just start making up stuff.
Yeah.
That guy's obviously left-handed, and I'm right-handed, so there's no way. Look, I don't even know how to shoot this bow.
Now, you can't really continue a show like Arrow without having him outed. It takes away the mystique of the vigilante.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am actually at a loss of explanations as to how they're going to actually work around this now.
And does Oliver need to fight the police now? You know, if
again,
that they're going to come after him? Because what was that? That was the season that Roy left.
Yeah.
That was the main, one of the main storylines is that Captain Lance was, you know, being his drunk ass self trying to capture, you know.
Well, that's why we can't have Roy.
You killed my baby. So.
Stuff going on today.
Is that your Lance impersonation?
That's my Lance impersonation.
Kill my baby.
Kill my baby.
He's a redneck?
I don't know.
You just said it like him again. I don't know.
Perfect.
But
I think you're great.
Yeah, I try.
Great actor.
You sound just like him.
I know. If you guys need to recruit somebody, I'm here.
If they ever put him in a mask.
Yeah, that's CW.
If they ever put him in the mask, you can definitely do the voiceover work for him.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm actually on. I do the voice for the CW seed.
Perfect. Yeah. No, I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell. You can? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So
I've been practicing.
Let's talk final thoughts then, I guess, because we could go back and forth about it. I don't know what they're going to do with this all day because it's just so weird.
They left it so open ended.
It was just like, what do we do? I don't know. Same, guys. I also don't know. But, I don't know. Final thoughts, Bob?
The beginning, like Mike said earlier, I want to say the first act was just way too fast with the flash forward backs, whatever the hell we were going to call them. Sort of just like that first action scene I thought was cool. Again, I wish they would have taken some kind of risk and killed somebody worth a damn.
Yeah.
You know?
Anything.
Sucks. That, you know, we had this opportunity to kind of create an impact. And, like, you know, we talk about, like, their social media, and they always like the buzz of, like, the net and everybody writing. Imagine how big it would have been if, like, a major character from Arrow dies. Click here to see the spoilers and to click on it and find out it was Diggle. You know, and...
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
It's just, again... It would have been a bookend to some of the original Team Arrow, you know, if this was the 5-year story and the 5-year story. Even if Diggle would have come out hurt and then not been in, like, the fight scene, and Oliver would have walked into the hospital and said, sorry, buddy, I did this to you. And Diggle's like, I can't be around anymore, like, just to be done with Team Arrow, like, from injury from Oliver. You know, I think that would have even pushed it a little further for Oliver's kind of guilt, not guilt, but, you know, dismissing or getting rid of some of the earlier people that have, you know, kind of get lost in the stories these days. The action scenes that we saw were cool, other than, you know, the mist grab thing, but I guess that's more realistic. Him shooting the arrows out of the water and coming up, that whole first scene I thought was done real well. Even the kind of the Batman grapnel gun arrow thing around the villain to catch Wild Dog. You know, all that shit was shot
was really
cool, and it was unexpected, but you knew exactly what was going to happen. You're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And it's cool to see Oliver using, like, the trick arrows again, which we saw more towards the end of last season. So, it wasn't everything that I wanted it to be, but the more we talked about it, the more, I think, like most of our shows, I kind of understand what they go. And I think that's what I get out of doing the show sometimes, is my initial response is just so this
angry
sucks.
Fanboy.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna get on the internet and get on the comment boards on IGN and
say lots of swear words,
say lots of stuff, and it's
call
gonna
them genitalia and-
yeah. And, you know, I again, after we talked about it, I think I can see a lot more of what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know. It was hard, man. It was hard this week. I thought the way it was paced was sloppy. And because of that, and you know, with the flash forward, flashback, flash forward, it was so choppy and weird. And it took a lot out of what could have been a really solid premiere. And it wasn't bad, but it could have been a lot better. And that's a huge bummer for me. I did like him using more trick arrow type things. I did like, you know, him doing that Batman style grappling hook thing to catch Wild Dog. There were a lot of really good things in this episode, most of which you've already touched on, Bob, but
going first rules.
I know, but, I hope that we don't fall into the same sort of pitfalls that we fell into last season, because I would love to love Arrow again. And if they do things the right way this season, I think that's totally possible. I think I could love Arrow again. I just hope that they're thinking long term. I appreciate that they did such a big reveal at the end of this episode with, you know, hey, everyone knows you're Green Arrow now, but it is confusing and it is weird. I do like having that feeling of wondering what's going to happen. I love having Slade back as a regular guy. I mean, he's never going to be super regular, but he's sane and he's Slade again. I'm hoping to see Roy come back because of Thea being in a coma. And honestly, I kind of like Thea being on the bench right now in general. And instead of this weird floater wandering around, not really knowing what to do.
Floater you can't flush?
Yeah.
I was picturing the floater in the eye.
Oh. Just like, avoiding. Every time you look at it, just swims away somewhere else. But, you know, I mean, and the visuals were all fine. They were good. There were a couple mishaps with the choreography that we talked about. But, you know, overall, it wasn't a bad premiere. But the way that they chopped it all together took away a lot, I think. Yeah. And that kind
of
sucks.
More of an editing thing.
Yeah.
Choices.
Definitely. Mike, what about you?
I can't disagree with anything that both of you are saying. I feel like this episode was written in a way to really jumpstart the season. And because of what's needed sometimes for season premieres, especially because you're dealing with a show that needed to kind of rejuvenate itself, the initial five-year plan that they used to kind of guide their story was at an end. So they needed something to really jolt the audience back into the story and let them know, hey, the show is continuing. So I felt like it went through those basic steps. It was, you know, paint by numbers type writing for the CW season premiere, how to keep our audience interested. However, I feel like the show would have benefited greatly from some mystery. And you already touched on that, Bob, with social media. I feel like social media continues to ruin these mysteries on all shows. And it's really sad that they do that, because they're not giving their shows a chance to deliver the mystery. Because even if you're not looking for it, it pops up on feeds. They're tweeting about it. And there really is no way to not have casting things or non-deaths not ruin it.
Write-offs. Victor Garber in Legends. Yeah. It was such a disappointment. Yeah. We're like, oh, yeah, now I got to watch the next 8 episodes wondering when he's going to die or get written off.
Yeah. And also we have contractual obligations to these actors. They're owed a certain amount of episodes, which I think also is an inherent flaw that just goes with the territory when you're dealing with specific types of TV shows like that. And you can't get away with characters. If you're signing Felicity for 22 episodes, guess what? She needs to be there for 22 episodes. I would say, hey, Felicity, this year you and Diggle are going to be cut down to 12. I say it's for the betterment of the story. If you want to stay on board, good. If not, then, you know, we love you. We had you here for 5 years, but we cannot keep actors on just because.
And that's how Thea was last year, I thought.
Right. I said, let's not be afraid to do away with characters and permanently kill them, because sometimes you need that to really bring a show back.
Risks can be good.
Yeah.
Take them.
Yeah. So, and I'm not saying I want some dark themed show that's just delves into an area that doesn't even feel like it belongs in this world that we've already been privy to for the last 5 years. I'm just saying, don't be afraid to kill people. Like, do away with them, because it would do wonders for the person who's most important for the show, and that's the story of Oliver. So overall, solid premiere, just some writing mishaps. And I'm hoping these kinks with the flash forwards or flashbacks, whatever we're calling them, I'm hoping they work themselves out and they kind of figure out a better way to pace them.
Mm-hmm.
As I said before, I felt like the pacing for the first two seasons for those flashbacks mattered a lot, because they were telling two stories that were distinctly two different stories with the same end goal in sight. This, in order for their flash forwards to work well, they're going to have to make sure it really will matter to what we're seeing in either the flashback or the flash forward. So that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to talk about as far as, you know, what they should do going forward.
Yeah.
But with that, that's going to be it for today's DC on CW Arrow Edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man Digital app, and be sure to follow us on social medias. Twitter is at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, and Instagram is at DC_on_CW. And we will catch you next time.
Not in the mood for chit-chat. Gotcha. Ready when you are.